The week started on a fairly positive note. Some of you know I had an appointment for my annual slate of blood work on Monday morning, and that went a whole lot better than I expected. In the past, it was fairly common for them to take 4 vials. This time, they only needed 2 for the same 19 tests. So I was out of there in no time. They didn't even ask me to hang around for the 10 minutes to see if everything was okay. After my appointment, I had about a half an hour before it was time to take Andrew to his appointment. And that's when things went south, or maybe I should say east, in very short order. We were heading down Southland Drive towards our doctor's office on McLeod Trail, and the icy roads caught up with me. At the Horton Road turnoff, another vehicle, a large pickup truck, decided to turn left at the same time I did. Only problem, he was coming from the right lane next to me. Traffic was stopped at the light, but he managed to pull in front of me. We were just on that little slope heading down to Horton Road and Southport Road. All I could do was watch his bumper with a huge trailer hitch coming closer and closer. That hitch took out my grill and the bumper, and then when the light changed, he drove away. I followed him until he pulled into a strip mall on Horton Road. And all the information he could give me was his name and phone number, because he didn't have any paperwork with him, and he was in a hurry to be somewhere. We did get everything straightened out over the next several days, and now I'm just waiting for repairs. Of course, that hitch saved his vehicle. He probably won't even have to make a claim. I've been driving for 55 years, all across Canada, as far north as you can go, down to the southern borders, and in some of the worst conditions imaginable. This was my first ever at-fault accident, 5 minutes away from home. Now, you're probably wondering how this event inspired today's sermon. Well, I've always been chicken to go on the bumper cars at any amusement park. But as I ran into the back of that pickup truck, my thought was, this must be what bumper cars feels like. Of course, it was only later that I stopped and processed these thoughts and began to realize the benefit of a humorous aspect to the whole thing. Looking back, I was pretty calm throughout, even though all my work experience was yelling at me, "This is your fault." Have you ever stopped to consider that humor has its own healing properties? Whether we're going through health issues, extremely cold weather, accidents, or just generally feeling a bit down, humor can help us see the blue skies above the clouds. While I was thinking about the benefits of humor, I happened upon the works of a man who has been a caregiver to his severely disabled wife for more than 30 years. His name is Peter Rosenberger, and he's the host of a far-reaching radio program titled Hope for the Caregiver. He's also published a book titled 7 Caregiver Landmines and How You Can Avoid Them. As I thought about those of us here in this room today, some of the situations we've encountered in the past, I realize most of us have been caregivers at one point or another. Or we've been in a situation where someone is being cared for, either in our own homes or in care facilities where we've spent considerable time with them. While thinking back on these situations, I wondered, how big a part did humor play in getting us through those dark times. It isn't easy when loved ones are suffering to see humor in the situation. But as Peter Rosenberger stresses, a sense of humor can detach from heartache without detaching from the person. He compares the caregiving days to a paddler in whitewater rapids, exhausting ourselves, paddling upstream against the current, and becoming weary in well-doing. Instead, using a sense of humor, we can turn around and travel downstream with the current. When we find ourselves in the position of caregivers, do we find it easier to cry or to laugh at the circumstances? There's no question. We shed tears way more often than we chuckle or laugh out loud. Why do we, as God-fearing people, take ourselves so very seriously so much of the time? Again, as Peter Rosenberger asks, why don't we take a lesson from our Creator? He did invent the duckbill platypus, right? And even better yet, He created you and me. Rosenberger goes on to say that 3 decades into their challenging medical situation, he and his wife Gracie have come to the point where they see the humor and find the lighter side even in their harshest circumstances. At age 17 in 1983, Gracie was involved in a devastating car accident which left her severely physically challenged. She has been an amputee for several decades, and even though she has metal prosthetic legs, she still dresses like a confident professional woman. As he says, she's not afraid to display a prosthetic leg below her hemline. Gracie is also a recording artist who has performed gospel duets with Joni Erickson Tada, who was also left at a young age with severe disabilities from a vehicle accident. Over the course of the past 30 plus years, Gracie has undergone over 80 major surgeries and more than 150 lesser procedures to correct issues that arise from limited mobility. As Peter says, he's now one of over 65 million caregivers in America. Being able to laugh makes the journey a bit easier. He looks for the humor in every situation they find themselves facing. One of those situations happened when Peter was being interviewed by a radio host. The interviewer asked, how does the average person know whether they are a caregiver? And Peter, mimicking one of his favorite comedians, Jeff Foxworthy, says, if you have a carpet cleaner on retainer, you're probably a caregiver. The impression was so good, the interviewer suggested Peter and Jeff should develop a comedy routine. When Peter contacted Jeff, the response was, sure, why not? Write up a few jokes and we'll put something together. Peter laughed and told him, hey, these are not jokes. This is my life. Do laughter and a sense of humor really make the hard places easier to navigate? How much easier would our days be if we looked for humor in the dark spots every day? One of my favorite anecdotes from Peter Rosenberger is the time he was bringing Gracie home from her 81st surgery, which was to correct a pinched nerve in one of her elbows. He was pushing the wheelchair towards the elevator when he became aware of the stares and sympathetic looks towards Gracie's prosthetics from the other people in the concourse. He reached the elevator doors, and the people inside made a space for the wheelchair. He looked around the crowd and he said, "Worst hysterectomy ever." Gracie had a smile as she rolled her eyes at him, but everyone in the elevator flinched and found something more interesting to see on the floor or on their shoes. His question is, does a Christian dare make a joke around such a serious condition? And his answer, as long as it is not hurtful or coarse, why not? Humor should never deliberately hurt anyone, nor should it be used as a defense mechanism. But the healing power of humor can be a soothing balm to a hurting heart. We cannot expect to pass through life without ever encountering difficulties. But we're encouraged in James 1, verse 2, to look for the joy in all our trials. In John 16, 20, just before he was betrayed, Jesus said, speaking to the disciples, "I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy." He goes on to compare that joy to the way a woman feels after giving birth. The birthing involves pain, but once the child is born, the pain is forgotten for the joy of a new life. Even though we shed tears, we don't have to be filled with anger and despair. Healthy tears have a way of healing and allowing laughter to follow. Usually the people who are the most scarred are the ones who offer us the most sincere permission to laugh. I was discussing this topic with several people, and I found that most of them said they like to be surrounded by others because they like to laugh with people rather than alone. The consensus was that you cannot get the full benefit of humor unless it is shared with another human being. I never really thought about that. I come from a family of laughing females. We can just look at each other and go into fits of giggles. Neither one of the four of us could tell a joke because by the time we reached the punchline, we were laughing so hard ourselves, the joke was ruined. What does the Bible have to say about laughter, humor, joy, or merriment? And if you think God doesn't have a sense of humor, just consider this. How many times were old people, yes, older than any of us here, nonagenarians and centenarians, entrusted with raising a very special baby boy? If you were to reach that esteemed age without having had children, how likely would you be to lose track of that child sometimes? Just as surely as we misplace our glasses or our keys. I can see some of you nodding your heads. There was a couple in Calvary Church many years ago who had been childless for several years. When they finally had a son, it was a bit of an adjustment. And no, I'm not talking about Andrew and me here. The wife told me that they had been driving from Calgary to Edmonton once when they stopped to rest at a gas station. She took the baby's car seat inside, and after resting for a while, they continued on their way. They had driven probably half an hour when they realized the baby was still back at the gas station. You can imagine their embarrassment at having to turn around, go back and claim your baby. You recall Sarah's reaction to God's announcement that she and Abraham would have a son. In Genesis 21, verses 6 and 7, "And Sarah declared, 'God has brought me to laughter. All who hear this will laugh with me.' Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse a child? Yet I have given Abraham a son in his old age." And again in Genesis 18, 12 to 15. "So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, 'After I'm worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure?' The Lord said to Abraham, 'Why did Sarah laugh and say, "Shall I indeed bear a child now that I'm old?" Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son.' But Sarah denied it, saying, 'I did not laugh,' for she was afraid. And he said, 'No, you did laugh.'" Psalm 126, verses 2 and 3. On the occasion of the return of the Israelites to Zion, "Our mouths were filled with laughter, and our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, 'The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy.'" We're also familiar with the passage in Ecclesiastes 3, verses 2 to 4. "A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance." Another benefit of laughter or cheerfulness is found in Proverbs 17:22. "A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." Proverbs 15:13, "A happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit." And in verse 15, "All the days of the oppressed are wretched, but the cheerful heart has a continual feast." Verse 30 shows us the value of a smile. A cheerful look brings cheer to the heart, and good news gives health to the bones. We're also reminded in Proverbs 14:13 that even in laughter, the heart may ache, and joy may end in grief. Of course, there are always times when we should refrain from laughter. Bad jokes, laughter at the expense of others, and when someone is experiencing a painful circumstance. There's no place for laughter in the life of a follower of Christ. When we look outside the Bible for quotes extolling the benefits of a sense of humor and laughter, we find no shortage of advice. Charles Dickens observed, "There's nothing in the world so irresistibly contagious as laughter and good humor." Charlie Chaplin said, "A day without laughter is a day wasted." William James, "We don't laugh because we're happy. We're happy because we laugh." And Milton Berle, "Laughter is an instant vacation." Then there are the anonymous quotes. "Life is better when you're laughing." "I've not seen anyone dying of laughter, but I know millions who are dying because they're not laughing." "Laughter is the best medicine." "A good laugh recharges your battery." These are just a few of the quotes that are readily available out there to point out the benefits of a sense of humor. It probably won't come easily at first to laugh in the face of despair. However, we're aware how easily we feel better if someone makes us laugh when we're feeling angry. By remembering that there are benefits to seeing the lighter side, or in other words, counting our blessings, and by training ourselves to look for the humorous side of situations, we can feel ourselves healing from the inside out and experiencing blue skies in spite of dark clouds. I wish you healing through humor.